A teacher is a lover. And this is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. A teacher is a lover. Any teacher who is not a lover is a miserable teacher. Any teacher who is a sharer and not a lover is a miserable sharer. We want to be a teacher or a sharer because we see others not being perfect like we are. And we see them not being perfect now. And we want to teach them. A teacher lives in a world of people who love what she loves. So, if you think the word teacher and you'd like to think of yourself as a teacher, then think of yourself teaching yourself mathematics. If you love mathematics, you surround yourself with people who love mathematics. You'll surround yourself with people who are at various stages of loving mathematics, various stages of being in love with mathematics, and you will encourage them to love it even more. You will make mathematics more and more exciting to them. You make mathematics one of the most exciting adventures in all of life. You will use all of your creativity, all of your imagination to show how mathematics is a wonderful, exciting thing. Not that you're teaching it, but you're showing that it's a wonderful, exciting thing. And indeed, everyone who comes into your world already knows it. Now, the teacher who has been most effective in my life are those teachers that made me feel the subject that we were sharing together was exciting. Now, the teachers who were not beneficial in my life were the teachers who made the subject into a boring experience, into a very unhappy experience, into an experience where I felt like I was being pushed. And I hated them. I hated Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. I hated them, you know. And, of course, I didn't really hate them. I just didn't like to go to their classes. I didn't like to go in their presence because they didn't like their field. You can be sure. If a teacher loves their field, really loves their field, and thinks that whatever field, if they're teaching five subjects, they love all five subjects, you know, and they love all five subjects equally, and they share that with the students, and the students say, wow, I want to be this, that, the other thing, you know, I want to teach all those things. Oh, good for you, you know, just go for it. And you'll never know which one will be the one that will really contain your full attitude and your full desire. Well, to teach is to love. And what did Shadan say? He says, to love... To teach is to go on loving. How do you say that? To love is to go on teaching, or something like that. Without getting tired. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To teach is to love teaching is to go on doing it without getting tired or something of that nature. Well, now, what does that mean? That means that you are so infatuated with it, you are like. You see, we want to be like the artist if we want to be the teacher. And we think of the artist, he goes into his palette, into his garret, into his brushes and his paints, and he's one with them. And he goes in there, and you knock on the door, Daddy, do you want your supper? No. Or he doesn't even answer it sometimes. And you say, well, are you alive? In there, you know? And you peek in the door, and he's working away. And then you go back another day, and another day, and he's still painting. And you say, my gosh, don't you go to the bathroom? Don't you go and eat? Don't you go to sleep? And he doesn't answer it because he's not there. He is in his subject. He is so embodied, engrossed in love with his subject that he knows nothing else. Well, now, that's supreme. That's ideal. That's the greatest we can ever do. All of us. Hey, you want to be a metaphysician? Get so involved in it that you can't sleep and eat and dream because that's all you do is think of your metaphysics. You want to be a great master? Well, then dream it, believe it, follow it, live it, and you will be it because you already are it. Because you can't be anything you don't want to already be that you don't think you already are. When you start thinking that you're already, that's the great teacher. That's the great teacher, the teacher that inspires us to go on and on, inspires us to do our thing, you know? Now, you take a little boy and you put him with an easel and a paintbrush and paints and stuff like that, and he will not be a structured painter, but he will paint. Well, now, stop and think about it. You either got it in you or you don't. And if you have an artist in you, if you have the talent in you, you have the natural proclivity to draw faces, to make paintings of whatever you want to paint, and you paint it. And you're good at it. You're not the best because there are little nuances that you want to learn about it. And you don't really want to learn it, you want to reveal it from within you. And so your teacher helps you reveal the nuances of your art. The teacher doesn't say to you, I don't like what you painted. The teacher says, here are some other ways that you can approach that subject, you know. Here are some other ways you can look at it. And when the teacher gives you these other ways, you get excited about it. And you get excited about learning. My geography teacher in high school, he's a nice man. And he's sort of a slim, non-entity type person. But when he talked about geography, he was fascinating. That's the subject he taught, too. We just all fell in love with the subject. We didn't even see him, but we felt his presence and we felt his love, and we had that same inspiration within us to know about all the planets on Earth, and to know about all the countries on Earth, and to know about all the boundaries, and to know about all of the things that were going on, and the peoples, and the lands that there were, and the water, and all the neat stuff that Earth is made up of, you know. And when we got done with that subject, oh man, were we excited. And another one, Miss Faulkner, I mentioned her before. She is my fifth grade teacher. Oh, it's all happened in fifth grade. That's a good year. Miss Faulkner came into class, and she said, well, our subject, mainly, this year, is going to be dinosaurs. Well, now, some of us knew what dinosaurs were, most of us didn't. And she says, first I want to tell you what dinosaurs are all about. And here we are, all sitting there. And so, like a fairy tale teacher, she talks to us about dinosaurs. Now, anything she could say would be right. Anything. No matter what she had these dinosaurs doing, it was right. And she had these dinosaurs acting like people who were out looking for food, who were out looking for... And it was just their way of doing it. They didn't have guns to go shoot things. They didn't have hoes and rakes and tractors to go and plow the earth. She made these dinosaurs into realistic, understandable beings living in the time that they lived and how big they were, the Brontosaurus with his massive body and sort of the Tyrannosaurus rex, all of these neat guys, you know, that I hadn't thought of for all these years. Well, now, she made them come alive for us. And then, first she told us the overall story, and that hour went, book, gone, beginning to end. And we couldn't wait to get back the next day. And each day we'd get back in that class, and we would just delight in it. And she would just take us from one level to another level of dinosauritis, you know. And we just had such a good time. And then we all had little rubberized dinosaurs. There were no dinosaurs on television. There were no dinosaurs in the videos or things like that. We all had to do that from books, you know. And we just loved dinosaurs. Now, another teacher that I dearly loved, she taught typing, and she taught typing very miserably. I had her for one semester. That's the only typing class I ever had in my life, and I have been a great typist ever since, you know. But I didn't know that she was good. I didn't know that she was really true. But then, after the typing class, if we were in her next class was Shakespeare, remember? And she was our Shakespeare teacher. And we would come walking into the room, and she would be working at her desk, and she would be facing away from us. She would not look at the class as we came in the room. And we all came in, we sat down in our seats. We knew that we had to sit down in our seats because that was what expected. We were in junior high school then. That was expected of us. And so then she turned around. she'd been our typing teacher, you know, as a normal, you know, and then here she is. She's Shakespeare. She's giving the soliloquies of Shakespeare. She's giving the whole plays of Shakespeare. She's making Shakespeare come alive for each one of us. Each one of us thought, wow, I didn't know he was so good. I didn't know Shakespeare was so exciting and so wonderful and so fantastic. But she made him come alive because she lived him. She lived him. She loved him. She loved him. And she didn't love Shakespeare. She loved what he wrote. She didn't know the man. Knowing the man was immaterial, you know, outrageously unnecessary. But what the stories are, what the adventures are that he wrote, she made them all come alive. And we all got straight A's in her classes because she was such a good revealer that we absorbed it all instantly. And I think that's probably what she did with the typing class too. Because she zoomed us through that typing class and we went through so fast we didn't know what was happening. And by the time that semester, one semester was over at that time, we knew it all. And the rest was just practice. And that's what I did. I had a little Royal portable typewriter, no bigger than my plate here, you know. And I had my green ribbon in it. And how about that, you know? And I would type all of my things up on there. And, you know, you had to erase when you made a mistake, so you had to be careful not to make mistakes. I mean, that was a good reason for not making mistakes. But I was very good. And typing became part of my life, real part of my life. But you see, the things that we fall in love with, they're the real part of our life. I didn't know that geography and my travels around the world would be part of my life, but it was. And just from whatever the guy's name was, and Miss Clockner with the dinosaurs, you know? Dinosaurs have never become particularly my life, but who knows? I have a lot of years to go yet. Who knows what my next exciting involvement is going to be, you know? But c'est la vie. And typing was one, and Shakespeare. When I went to college, I took courses in Shakespeare. And I mean, who in their right mind takes courses in Shakespeare in college? They're just a few dilettantes. But, and a few people who really saw the brilliance of that man, the absolute brilliance. We teach best, not what we most need to learn, which seemingly should be the case, but we teach best if learning means revealing, then that's true. We teach best what we most need to reveal. So we're revealing what we are most excited in. Mm-hmm. And if we're most excited in any of these subjects, we reveal them. Mm-hmm. And we reveal them very well. I always liked to write, all through school and all through everything. And my writing was never very good. My writing wasn't good because it lacked one factor. One factor that it took me quite a while to put into it. It was always there. But the one factor was imagination. My writing was sort of blah. It was just factual. It was like a newspaper writing, you know. And so when I had my newspaper, and the first one that I had in West Dallas, Wisconsin, I would work for the West Dallas Star as the editor. And so I wrote the factual things, and they were always perfectly good. But then I'd go out in the field on the weekends and I'd write features. Features about various parts of Wisconsin and the dells and the glacial areas that they had there and all the other things and the Swiss farms and where they had milk and cheese and things like that. I wrote about all of, and those things, those features, were what brought me the best response from the community and from winning prizes and stuff in journalism. But you see, I fell in love with those things. I took the art of writing and the ability of writing and then added to it the imagination of creative writing, going out and making a story interesting to people. Because I fell in love with it, I could transfer that love through the writing. And it was great. Now, this was wonderful, and I really enjoyed it. And I really, I can mentally go back and live in those years that I was doing those things, and every time I go back and live in the mentally, what am I living? I am living in the exciting adventures, not the day-to-day news adventure, but the exciting adventures where I really was doing something wonderful and good. But you see, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Teachers live in a world of people who love what she loves. If a teacher teaches mathematics, she's got a world of students who love mathematics, if she loves mathematics. We want to be a teacher or a sharer because we see others not being perfect now. We will teach them. Well, they won't learn. When we look at all of our students and all of our friends and our neighbors and our husbands and wives and children, relatives, whoever, if we look at them as already accomplished, and all we do is compliment them on being already accomplished, wonderful things happen. And wonderful things are revealed in their life and revealed in our life. And it's exciting, isn't it? It's really exciting. So, what kind of teacher are you? What kind of sharer are you? What kind of lover are you? Are you the lover that says, hey, I love this. Let me tell you about this. Did you know what I did? And no, you know, right away. Tell me, you know, you're interested because they're in love with telling you about what they did. And if they tell you about what they did and it's boring, you know they didn't enjoy it. They're just putting on a show. And that's what we do, isn't it? So, the kind of teacher I want to be, or the kind of teacher that I like to be, or the kind of teacher that I am, is the kind of teacher like I had who turned me on with the excitement of the subject that I was looking at and learning about and thinking about. That's the wonderful thing about life, isn't it? Have a wonderful day, a wonderful adventure, have a wonderful life, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.